8, Romans 8. And today we're going to bring, I'm going to bring the final message in a series of four messages that we've been doing on positional truths. And when I say positional truths, it's referring to our position in Christ and things we have as a result of being in Christ. And the first week we looked at righteousness. The second week we looked at justification. Last week we talked about sanctification. And today I want to talk to you about glorification. That is being glorified together. That we are already seated together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And on each one of these things that we've looked at, we've tried to look at it from the positional side and then the conditional side. And even with glorification, you can do that. And that's what we want to do this morning. By the way, these messages will be available on CD. I plan on putting all four of them on four CDs and making a package of that if you'd like them. And also, we're going to have the ones on justification. We had more requests for those than some of the others. And so, if you want one of those, we'll try to have those for you next Sunday morning. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 17, the Bible says there, if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. That's speaking of a future glorification. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. But the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, and hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Over in verse 30 of Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So we see in the part of the verse there, a future glorification, or part of the passage, we see a future glorification. And in verse 30, we see a present glorification. Now, the present glorification, it's like these other things. For example, when we talk about righteousness, a lot of times it's hard for people to see themselves as righteous in Christ Jesus. Because of the unrighteousness of the flesh, they have a hard time reckoning themselves as righteous in the sight of God. The same is true with justification. Justification has to do with the truth of being justified. It has to do with the fact that God sees us as just, though as though we had never sinned. And the same is true with sanctification. We looked at, in looking at sanctification, we saw that the Bible says that we're saints of the Most High God, sanctified in Christ Jesus. But He also says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, and then goes about to talk about things that we are to do in our life as a result of who we are in Christ. Now those same principles apply to this idea of glorification. Verse 30, again, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, them he called, he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Hold on here and look over in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2, verse 4. First three verses talks about what we were in time past. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, present tense, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Spiritually speaking, we are already there. We're already in glory. We're glorified in the sense that we are a spiritual body, and by one Spirit we've all been baptized into that one body, and we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. We are bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, and all of these positional truths that we've talked about, they all have to do with not what we did, but with what Christ did on our behalf to bestow upon us these blessings. There in Ephesians, if you look back in chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, he says there in verse 3 that He's blessed us with all. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I know I mention this often, but to me it's very significant that the emphasis through the Apostle Paul is upon spiritual blessings. You ever heard somebody say, they drive up in a big old automobile, and you say, man, that's a nice car, and they say, well, yeah, the Lord's really blessing me. Or you go to their house, and they got a big fine house, swimming pool out back, acres of ground all around it. You say, man, this is a magnificent place. Yeah, the Lord's really blessed me. Now, I'm not discounting the fact, folks, that people who obey the Scriptures and work, as He said to work, that there's a benefit in that. But, you know, the wonderful thing about spiritual blessings is that you've got everyone I've got, and I've got everyone you've got. And there is no difference. He's blessed us with all. The moment you got saved, you immediately had every spiritual blessing that God has to offer. The moment you were saved, you were immediately justified. You were immediately sanctified. You were immediately made righteous in His sight. And you were immediately glorified in the mind of God Almighty in Christ Jesus. You know, I always felt bad about that thing about people. You know, you'd be around people and somebody say, well, yeah, the Lord's blessing me. And that guy's driving a big old fine automobile, and somebody just pulled up in a 86 Ford Pinto with muffler hanging off, you know, and that guy saved and just as spiritual as a guy that just drove up in the Jaguar or whatever. I mean, listen, folks, people have this mentality that you measure God's blessings by the physical things in your life, and they miss the truth of the fact that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and they're all equal. Everybody has them. Everybody has them. And the glorification is part of those blessings, being glorified together. Go back there again to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This glorification that we have in Christ Jesus, being part of His body, being seated together with Him in heavenly places, being blessed with all spiritual blessings, that glorification is that position that we have in Christ, which is the assurance of the future glorification of the body that we're walking around in today. In verse 18 of Romans chapter 8, Paul says, for I reckon. That's a good term, you know. You say, well, the reckon is an accounting term. You lay things out there, the books have to be reckoned. And so Paul evaluates who we are, what we have in Christ, particularly based on the fact that this is coming after the first 17 verses of Romans chapter 8. And we looked at Romans chapter 8 a couple of weeks ago. And he says there in verse 17, if children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There's another spiritual blessing. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, you're going to notice in some of the scriptures we look at that the glorification, the future glorification, looks somewhat conditional. For example, here, if we suffer, that we may be also glorified together. But notice verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul is looking at the physical circumstances of life. He's looking at his physical position in life. And he says, I can come to the conclusion that the sufferings of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You go down in verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, that word, that phrase, to wit, you'll notice that's in italics. That means it was added by the translators. You know, I've been reading the Bible all these years, and I never really stopped to think about what to wit really means. Well, you know, I found out that what it means is it's like saying, it's to know. It's to say, this and this are basically the same thing. And so he says there, we're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In other words, the adoption that we've already explained has to do with the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we've already been redeemed by the blood of Christ, but we're looking forward to the redemption, that is, the changing of our body. That future glorification based on the present glorification that we have in Christ. Look, if you will, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Back up in verse 8, the Apostle Paul is talking about the troubles that he's faced in the ministry. He does that twice here in the book, or two or three times here in 2 Corinthians. In verse 8 he says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Look down in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You see your outward man perishing on a regular basis. I mean, you see that in the lives of other people, particularly when sickness is manifest and different things. But he says, the inward man is being renewed. You see, there's something in you that's not ever going to die. There's something in you that's not getting old. That inward man is always going to exist in a state of glorification. Now notice what he says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What is he talking about there? An eternal weight of glory. Well, I believe what he's at, I mean, just in simple terms, he's saying if you put on some scales, the afflictions that you're suffering, that we suffer here on this earth, and the glory that we're going to have throughout eternity, there's no comparison. The glory will so far outweigh the afflictions, it's not even comparable. Now, the problem we have is that we look at everything through the eyes of flesh because we're fleshly individuals. That's why the body fights and struggles and hangs on to life as hard as it can, even for somebody that's saved. Even for somebody that's going to live eternally, the body holds on and tries to preserve itself and stay alive. The Apostle Paul, I think, through the revelation given unto him, overcame that. And when he wrote to Timothy, he said, "The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Now, no doubt Paul had some fears about that, but he also wrote to Timothy and said, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." But he says there in verse 17, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen." Well, what's seen? That's physical. That's around us. "But the things which are not seen." How do we look at the things which are not seen? We look at those things through spiritual eyes. We've never seen heaven. We've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We've never seen His glory manifest. But those are the things we need to look at. How do we look at them? We look at them through the Word of God. They're not seen physically, but they can be seen by and through the Word of God. He said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal." They're just temporary. "But the things which are not seen, those are eternal." The things you can't see are the things that are going to last forever. Those are the things that we need to look at. And then he continues that in chapter 5. Notice what he says. He begins to expound on that. Here's some things that's not seen. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house," we can see that, "of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We haven't seen that, have we? We see the physical body. We don't see the spiritual yet. And so in verse 2 he says, "For in this we groan." That is, in this earthly house of this tabernacle. "In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Now, you see, when things get really bad, people do at times become a little more homesick and desire to be in that state of glorification. And he says, "In this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." Verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Mortality has to do with immortality and mortality, death and life. Verse 5, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." There's the guarantee. "That if this earthly house were dissolved, we have a building. We have a house not made with hands." It's a glorified building. It's a glorified place. And he says there in verse 8, "We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." There again, another verse that looks like, or could appear to people, that we're laboring in order to be saved. But that's not at all the context we're going to see in a few moments. Look, if you will, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 15. And before we read in 1 Corinthians 15, go over to Colossians. Chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. "Blessed with all spiritual blessings, looking at things which are not seen versus things which are seen." How is all that possible? Well, Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, Paul mentions there in verse 5, "The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as doth also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth." Saved people he's writing to. Look down in verse 27. to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, our hope is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ. Look over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him, where? In glory. We look not at the things which are seen, but things which are not seen. The glory, the glorification. We've already been glorified together with Him. When He died, we died with Him. When He was buried, we were buried with Him. When I'm talking about spiritually speaking. We were raised with Him to walk in newness of life. And not only were we raised with Him to walk in newness of life, but we're seated together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's glory. That's a glorified state. That's a glorified place. And we already have that. But we're looking for the redemption of the body. The adoption. The adoption is even positional and future. We're already adopted into the family of God, but there's that adoption where we are changed and made like unto Him. The glorification process. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, the minding earthly things here, folks, I don't believe is necessarily just sins of the flesh, like going to movies, smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, that kind of thing. I believe Paul is dealing with some people, and it's evident here, it's evident in Titus chapter 1, when he said those of the circumcision, mouths need to be stopped. They mind earthly things. In other words, they're preaching a message about an earthly program. And that's not where we're at. We're not going to inherit the earth. Our hope is not on the earth. He said they mind earthly things, but notice the contrast. But our conversation is where? It's in heaven. Our conversation's up there, where we're already seated with Him in heavenly places. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His what? Glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to do all things unto Himself. There's our hope, to have this vile body changed, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body. I was walking out of the hospital the other night, been down to see Brother Jim, and this was when he was in intensive care. And it was about sunset that evening. And I'm walking across the parking lot there, and the thought just hits me. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the rapture took place right now? Every sick individual in that hospital that was saved would be delivered from that bondage of corruption. Every saved individual together would be caught up together in the clouds. We'd never have to have another funeral. No more aches, no more pains, no more intensive care, no more hurt, no more heartache, no more discouragement, no more deception. Just eternal glory with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to change our vile body. And He's going to fashion it like unto His glorious body. Why? Because we're going to live with Him in glory. in glory. Look back in 1 Corinthians 15 now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's addressing a lot of issues in 1 Corinthians 15 about resurrection, the life to come. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15:35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and in what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and so every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it is raised, notice, in glory. It is sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written. First man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. You know who you look like? People ever say, you know who you look like? You look like Adam. That's exactly who you look like. I'm not talking about every little feature. But the Bible says the earthy, they bear the image of the earthy. We're earthy people. You know, sometimes when I've been outside working real hard, Mary, to be kind, she'll say, you need to go take a shower, you're smelling a little bit earthy. Well, that's what the earthy is. It decays. It's rotten. It's no good. And so one day it's just going to go back to the earth. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and whose corruption inherit incorruption. And so Paul talks about this glory, and then he tells us about the transportation. He tells us how we're going to get it. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I've always found it fascinating that Paul talks about all this resurrection, and he concludes the whole thing with the catching away of the church, the body of Christ. And then he gives us the admonition that while you're waiting, don't just sit around and twiddle your thumbs. While you're waiting, brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, we have a glorification that is going to take work, that we already possess right now, but we're looking to a future glorification. Now there's something about that that I want you to notice. Look in, if you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 10, we don't have time to read all the context, but the context is the coming of the Lord. And verse 10 says, when he shall come, notice, to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Every time I read that verse, I think about Brother Daryl Medford. Daryl and I were preaching at Tracy's, and Daryl was assigned these verses to preach on, and Daryl talked about those that were admired in Christ Jesus. And after he got through, Tracy said, Terry, what in the world? He said, Daryl, what in the world is being admired? And he said, it's admired, like it says in the verse. I said, it's admired, Tracy. He said, but he didn't say admired. He said admired. You'd have known Daryl. To be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. Now notice verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, notice now, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, that verse, people will take that verse and say, see, if you don't live the Christian life, you're not going to be worthy of eternal life. That's not at all what is being said there. He's already called us. What he is saying, remember the verse there in Ephesians, he said to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. God desires that we would be worthy of that glorified position that we already have. I believe that's what the verse is teaching. And he says, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. You've already got the calling. You're already in Christ. Well, when is God going to count us worthy of this calling? Hold on here, look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember in Ephesians 4, he goes through this whole list of things that we're to do, and then he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Somebody told me recently that grieving the Holy Spirit was losing your salvation. That's not losing your salvation, folks. It's grieving the Holy Spirit is grieving the Holy Spirit. And he says in the same verse, by that same Spirit, you're sealed in the day of redemption. You see, here again, if people don't separate the position from the condition, it ends up in confusion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, notice, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall declare every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I mean, it couldn't be any clearer that there's two conditions there. There are those who receive a reward, and there are those that don't, but they're still saved. God would count you worthy of this glorified position that you already have in Christ Jesus. Well, what happens to gold, silver, and precious stone when it goes through a fire? It is purified. What happens to wood, hay, and stubble when it goes through a fire? There's nothing there. Listen, folks, all that we do for Christ Jesus in believing the Word of God, standing for the truth of the Word of God, and acting upon those truths is gold, silver, and precious stones. But it's not for your glorification. It's for His glorification. It's to glorify Him. It's not so that you can walk around through heaven upon the streets of gold, as people say, and boast about what you've done. Everything that you've done as a result of who you are in Christ. You have nothing to glory in. It's all what Christ did. Now go back there to Thessalonians and think about that, what he's saying in relation to these verses that we just read. Your work is going to be tried. Not your salvation. Your sins were paid for at Calvary. God will never bring up your sins. But one day your work is going to be manifest of what sort it is. Not how much it is, what sort it is. And the Bible says very clearly there, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. That is, that your work would be silver, gold, precious stone, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Notice now that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, what? May be glorified. You see, folks, it's far more serious than people think most of the time. People get saved by the grace of God, bask in the grace of God, and think, oh, man, I'm saved by grace. I might be my own man now, do what I want to do, go where I want to go, say what I want to say, and never stop to think about the eternal repercussions of living a life of selfishness, of living a life centered on what you want to do, what we want to do, rather than what God's will is. And in eternity, the glory that is His, we will rob Him of that glory by the fact that we walked after the flesh and not the Spirit. Time and again, Paul said in relation to people, these people are my glory. You see, he says in verse 12 that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in Him, ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That future glorification, people say, well, will there be levels of reward? Will there be different levels of glorification? Well, there must be. If some end up with precious stones, gold, and silver, and some end up with nothing throughout eternity. They're all in heaven. They're all in Christ. But I believe with all my heart, soul, mind, and body that everything that we do for Christ's sake adds to the glory, the glorification, of glorifying Him. Not us. It's not us. We're going to be there. We're already seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But He desires for us to serve Him. And I probably misunderstand more about this than I do understand. But it sure seems to me that there is a direct correlation between that which we do in obedience to the Word of God and the glory that is ours for Him, for Christ's sake. We're glorified. We've been called, saved, glorified, guaranteed a position in glory. One day He's going to change our vile body and fashion it like to His glorious body. But there's also coming a day when our work is going to be tried and it's going to be manifested of what sort it is. And therefore we need to stand for the truth of the Word of God, obey the Word of God, stand upon the Word of God till it comes again. Our salvation is by grace through faith. No works involved. But we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus and unto good works. God desires that we do those things that are pleasing unto Him, for His honor and for His glory and for His glorification. Please stand in prayer.